Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Big news of the day. The peace process between Israel and Gaza. We start there with CBS's Jared Hill.
The return of hostage remains is crucial to holding the deal and getting aid into Gaza. This morning, reports say one of the bodies returned by Hamas is believed to be Gazan and not Israeli. Meanwhile, the White House says Hamas isn't holding up another part of the bargain.
Just days into the historic Middle East peace deal, frustration is growing. Hamas has returned only a handful of remains of deceased hostages held in Gaza.
I want them back.
Tuesday, President Trump demanded that Hamas hand over the rest of the bodies, writing on social media, "The job is not done." The president also issued this threat after Hamas rejected calls to give up its weapons, a key term of phase two of the ceasefire deal.
If they don't disarm, we will disarm them. And it'll happen quickly and perhaps violently. But they will disarm.
In an exclusive CBS News interview, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the fragile agreement depends on Hamas keeping its word.
First, Hamas has to give up its arms. And second, you want to make sure that there are no weapons factories inside Gaza. There's no smuggling of weapons into Gaza. That's demilitarization. I hope we can do this peacefully.
Both Hamas and the Red Cross have warned that the destruction in Gaza has made it difficult to recover some of the bodies, and the process will take time. Israel had threatened to reduce the number of aid trucks allowed into Gaza after Hamas initially returned just 4 bodies. After Hamas handed over the remains of 4 more late Tuesday, Israeli news reported that the country has decided to reopen the Rafah crossing with Egypt to allow in more food and supplies.
A group representing hostage families is calling for the peace plan to be suspended until every deceased individual, they say, is returned. Meanwhile, major questions linger about the future of Gaza, including who will govern and help to rebuild.
CBS's Jared Hill. So a tenuous, but we knew this would be a very delicate process. You kind of felt that going in.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's logistical issues here in returning the bodies.
There has to be.
Right?
I mean, you've seen the destruction there. There may be. And the problem is going to be, they say, well, some of those bodies have been buried under rubble
mm-hmm.
in the process over the last 2 years. How do you verify that?
Right.
And then most importantly to many is disarming Hamas, that process. If the Israeli troops aren't there,
they've already pulled back to the agreed upon lines.
Right,
they did that immediately.
So how do you know? And with more on the hostages, CBS's Michael George.
We're learning more about the Israeli hostages and their time in captivity. The wife of Elkanah Bobo says he suffered abuse and received little food, except for the days before his release, when Hamas overfed him before he would be seen publicly. Eitan Horn's sister-in-law says he lost more than 40% of his body weight. She says he's also just learning about friends that were murdered on October 7th. He had no clue how many people were kidnapped and what the country went through. Omri Miron's brother-in-law says his road to healing is long, but they're happy he's in a relatively stable condition. He also spoke about Miron getting to play with his young daughters again. One was less than a year old when he was taken hostage.
He really wanted to share with us what was his experience, but we focused, to be honest, on being a family again.
It's ups and downs all the time. He's sharing something and then we're laughing about something else, and he's hugging my kids all the time.
And the grandmother of hostage Matan Angres says she asked him about the wounds on his arms, and he just said, all is good, it's nothing.
Just happy to be home. So we'll continue to follow that story. Meanwhile, government shutdown getting a lot of attention here in day 15, Paul.
Just working on a new story for our 6:30 news. Some interesting comments made by Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski about the shutdown.
Yeah, they've got to find a way to, and keep in mind, even if they would have found a solution earlier, it would have only been good until the end of November.
Yeah, 7 weeks.
So they got to go through this whole process again. So hopefully if they find a way to come to some, you know, amicable solution here for the good of the country, that it will be extended beyond that date and not have to keep going through this. They keep kicking the can down the road. And both sides, you can blame both sides.
Yeah. And I think the reason I find the Murkowski comments compelling, want to pass them along, is because she's more of a centrist, you know, leans more toward being an independent or bipartisan senator than she does like a hardline Republican or a hardline Democrat.
And the sticking point seems to be the health care situation that the Democrats want guaranteed. The Republicans say, we'll talk about that, but not until we get a deal. And ironically, it lines up with a time of year when enrollment periods begin for...
Isn't that something?
People in healthcare.
The irony of that.
Yes.
Right?
And many people are feeling the healthcare crisis personally and trying to figure out what's best. So actually, our day today is dedicated throughout the day to Medicare or MediConnect, and they know all the details. And what I love about this, it's our Ask the Experts Day, is you don't pay them.
No.
They work with you,
that's
your
right.
situation, try to find the best fit.
I can tell you from my own personal experience of working with MediConnect, I had questions, wanted to know what direction I was going to be moving in now that I qualify for Medicare. And we had a good conversation. I'm going to hang on to the union coverage that I enjoy right now as long as I'm working. But I was advised to sign up for Medicare Part A because it will make it easier to transition into a Medicare plan when that time comes. It was a really helpful conversation. And again, I wasn't charged anything for that. I really enjoyed being able to turn to them. I mean, it's a nice perk of working here that we know about them.
And it's a perk that you can take advantage of today. 888-818-MEDI. That's 888-818-6334. And you will hear throughout the morning the opportunities.
It's a dizzying number of choices that are available. It really helps to have people around who have a good handle on what's going on and what might work best for you and your situation.
I agree. Listen for The Drive at 5, top stories driving the day's news. Weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap. Brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Have you heard about Walmart and artificial intelligence? Social media is having a field day with Walmart announcing they have a partnership with ChatGPT. The company isn't saying exactly how it will work. The internet, though, is filling in the blanks. Have you heard about this, Aaron?
I haven't.
Neither have I. I'm curious here.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's asking, will it recommend the perfect toilet paper after a spicy food binge?
Whoa. What a fun way to describe that.
Where did you unearth this?
Well,
these things that Larry finds when he's rooting around for information.
Right.
Rooting around. As I saw Michael Bartley yesterday, we did the Dan McCann coaches luncheon they do once a month for local high school football and soccer. And lo and behold, Michael was there with some of his Greenfield Mafia. And he was out there, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
I mean, I think that he has the most fun just being...
In life.
Yeah, like...
And he knows everybody.
He does. Knew, isn't that, that's true.
Isn't that true? Yeah.
Everybody in the room was like, oh, Michael. He's like the unofficial mayor. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's some of the other Walmart AI suggestions that AI may now talk to you based on your midnight snack habits. I've added ice cream to finally our long nightmare of typing in what we want is over. It'll just know what you want and give it to you.
You know what? I don't even have ChatGPT downloaded on my phone. I just will look it up if I need to use it really quick. And I remember searching something and it goes, here's a suggestion based on things you've asked in the past. I'm like, see, that's
right.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that's kind of spooky.
I'm like, you don't even live on my phone.
I like using the Grok app because it's in the app already, the X app.
Mm.
You don't have to add anything new.
Do we have to just turn that on, or is it already there?
It's like a search button you can press, and then you're in Grok, I guess.
For those that don't know, Grok is an artificial intelligence component of X.
Right.
And then for Google, it is Gemini, and then ChatGPT is another one.
And if you do regular Google searches, you're going to find that the Gemini makes an immediate response at the very top of your results list.
Well, I also have heard that more frequently now, employers looking for new employees are getting irritated because they're getting a lot of artificial intelligence resumes.
Do you think that could become, like, I wonder if that will be a position at some point, someone to monitor how AI is used in companies?
Ironically, that's a good point, Aaron. Ironically, though, many larger companies use artificial intelligence to weed out resumes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like bot versus bot.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's the cheat code to get yours to rise up and get an actual human
being? Well, I think its original writing would help the most, right?
Yes. Have you ever heard of nectophobia?
Nectophobia.
Nope.
Not to be confused with necrophobia. This is...
Oh, boy.
Are you afraid of the dark? About 30% of Americans and about a quarter of those are sleeping with a nightlight to be feeling more secure.
Hmm.
Men were more likely than women to fear the dark, love horror movies, and even have nightmares after watching them.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you were...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about the monster under your bed?
What do you mean when I was a kid? I worry about it now.
I'll tell you, I can tell you that I am afraid of the dark when it's completely dark and I can't see a thing.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I do. That does make me on the fearful side.
I heard that Irish comedian Hal Roach said that, you've heard the biblical saying, from dust you came and dust you shall return.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if that's the case, somebody's coming or going under my bed because of all the dust.
Dust bunnies everywhere.
Talker Research Magazine spoke with 2,000 people and found that 11% are so uncomfortable in the dark, they still use a teddy bear for comfort.
Hmm.
Little squeeze.
I do leave a small light on in the living room that kind of casts a bit of a light toward the bedroom.
Yeah, I'll say if I'm ever home by myself... And, like Vinny's out of town or something, I'm more, what was, did anybody hear? It's like I'm hearing random things.
Well, you're in a home now.
Yes, by myself.
Yeah. And
it's like super dark out. There's woods outside.
Yeah, from the picture you showed, this isn't like a townhouse with a bunch of people around. You're in the forest.
Yeah. So that's the only time. I always tell people I get everything I need and pretty much barricade myself in my room.
You're like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
being afraid of the dark isn't anything new, but I will say from a practical standpoint, after traveling with the Pitt football team, you know, being in a hotel, I make sure there's enough of a nightlight after I severely stub my toe.
Oh,
that's the reason why I leave that light on in the living room so I can see where I'm walking.
Yeah, it's not because you're afraid, Paul, right?
No, you just, after you've stubbed your toe a few times, that's hard enough in which you use interesting language.
Yep.
You tend to want to, you know, prepare for that and avoid it if possible.
But are you one of the 10% of people who are sleeping with a teddy bear?
No.
He says.
Definitely not.
All right. Okay, morning show. When I say Ambassador Rooney, first thing you think of is the late Ambassador Dan Rooney, who was our ambassador to Ireland. But there is an Ambassador Francis Rooney, and Ambassador Rooney has served the United States ambassador to the Holy See, appointed by George W. Bush, and wrote a book about the experience, the U.S. Holy See, and the relationship, the book titled The Global Vatican. And we have Ambassador Francis Rooney with us this morning. Welcome to KDKA.
Thanks for having me on.
The obvious question is, are you related in any way to the late Ambassador Dan Rooney, and have you been asked this question before?
I've been asked before, but I don't know. I don't think that I am. I've never seen any connection with the Pittsburgh Roonies, although I did serve in Congress with Tom.
Where did you grow up?
Oklahoma.
And how long were you ambassador to the Vatican, the Holy See?
3 years.
That must have been an extraordinary experience. We don't hear much about that here in the States, as you know. But obviously, that's a vital link, especially since now we have an American, the first American pope.
Yeah, who I've known for 30 years.
You've known him for 30 years?
Yeah. He became head of the Midwest Augustinians in the late 90s when our children were at a Augustinian school in Tulsa. And he came down to the board meetings every month, and I was on the board. So we saw him every month for several years, and then he moved to Rome in 2002, or maybe three, to become head of all of the Augustinian order in the world, and we went over and saw him, took the kids, whatnot. And then 2005, we moved to Rome ourselves, so we saw who we used to call Father Bob a lot for years.
What were your thoughts when he became Pope Leo the 14th?
Super excited. I think he will be a fantastic pope. First of all, it's so refreshing to have an American after a couple thousand years of European and particularly Italian dominance. I thought for sure the Italians would want to get the football back in their stadium after three non-Italian popes. You know, 82% of all popes have been Italian. And most of the ones that weren't were in the early years were from the Holy Land. And so it was great to see that Pope Leo could get the votes to win. I know why that the election took the way turn it took, but you know,
it's a fascinating process. Did you see the movie Conclave?
Oh yeah, you know they got the clothes right. That's about it.
That's it. It stops there for you. Obviously, this is Academy Award level feature film about the process of electing a new pope, and this was made prior to knowing that they would be indeed going through that process for real. And in this case,
timing couldn't have been better, could it?
Yeah, it all worked out for them. So in the Global Vatican, what do you want people to know about the relationship?
Well, there's a few key points that I was trying to make. I hope I did. First of all, that the United States and the Holy See share a lot of common principles and values that draw us together to make the world a better place. We're the only two institutions in the world, state institutions, that have human rights and human dignity in our statement of foreign policy goals and objectives. And we are the people that invented the First Amendment, freedom of speech. And freedom of religion distinguishes us from most other countries. And those are important values to the Holy See as well. The other thing is that the role the Holy See can play in the world as a non-hegemonic power. They don't have any property, they don't have any oil, farmland, etc. They can exert an influence in the world that is purely based on principle. And that's a real opportunity for the United States to leverage our common principles for them to say some things that could have more impact than maybe we can ourselves.
So, Ambassador, we're with Ambassador Francis Rooney, who has served our country 3 years at the Vatican. I'm curious, what impact does having an American pope potentially have for this country?
Well, I think it'll be very inspiring to American Catholics, particularly younger ones, since Pope Leo is a fairly young pope, and that would be very good. I think he'll continue a lot of things that Pope Francis espoused that the young people support, I think, like protecting at-risk people, marginalized people. And I think it'll also be really good for the church in Latin America, which has suffered great declines, ironically, great declines under Pope Francis, who was a liberation theologist. Pope Leo will be able to inspire people to return to the Catholic faith who have left to become evangelicals. Six countries in Latin America do not have a Catholic majority anymore.
And we just talked to our local bishop last week about a seeming return to the church from college age young people, which was encouraging.
I've read some of that. It is. And I think that the Pope's election will stimulate that even more. He speaks clearly. He speaks like an American. I think people can understand what he's trying to say, and his message will resonate, perhaps better than a more obtuse European viewpoint.
The Global Vatican, Ambassador Francis Rooney, appreciate your time this morning. Fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
With the government shutdown now in its third week, federal workers are starting to live off of partial pay.
Air traffic controllers are urging lawmakers to strike a deal after getting only a portion of their paychecks, though now they won't get paid again until after the shutdown.
CBS's Jared Hill there.
They're asking people to reach out to their elected officials and say, get a deal done.
A frost advisory in effect from midnight tonight through 9 tomorrow morning. Temperatures as low as 32, so we get to break out the parkas tomorrow.
Yeah, and then even colder, some spots on Friday morning, and looks like Sunday's the rain day, and it's actually going to warm up.
Yeah, temperatures back up into the 70s this weekend. Okay. And the Bengals are next on the Steelers schedule tomorrow night at Cincinnati. Mike Tomlin's top concern?
The story is Joe Flacco. You know, it's reasonable to expect him to be significantly better in week two. I saw him make some anticipatory throws even last week. Thought he was significantly better as the game wore on. Certainly, we got a full week's work ahead of us in terms of minimizing a veteran, savvy, talented thrower like him.
He loves, apparently he has a big respect for Joe Flacco. And since 2019, Steelers are 1-5 on Thursday nights. And 0-8 against divisional opponents since 1970 on Thursday nights.
There's a change.
That's a real oddity.
There's a trend that's got to change, Larry, right there,
change.
Right?
Tomorrow night in the Queen City. Absolutely.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.